So in this beautiful 13th chapter, which is the closest that one can get to understanding the glory of the Upanishads that talk about the one consciousness that is all-pervading and the individual, and what is the relationship between that consciousness, the world, and the individual, is summarized very beautifully in this 13th chapter. Today we'll be ending it. And the teacher, after having talked about the field is this world, the entire world of body, mind, and intellect, the individual perceiver, feeler, and thinker, and the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts, and our vastness, it's all known to us, is the field, and the knower of the field, Krishna says, Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. So he says, I am the knower in all the fields. The Lord says, I as the consciousness am the knower. And so first Sri Krishna tells us about the field, describes the field, and then he talks about the qualities that one needs to develop to reach this highest goal, how one can amanitvam, adambitvam, you know, humility and all that. And then he then subsequently tells us about the knower, that the Lord, the consciousness that is one in all and all-pervading, what are the qualities? And we studied them in detail in the past few weeks. And then last week he said, this Lord that is all-pervading in every body, yet it does not do anything. It is not involved, it is a non-doer, and it is not affected, not contaminated by all the actions. So one wonders, you know, if the Lord is everywhere doing everything and the cause of everything, how is he not involved or affected? So last week, Sri Krishna gave us a beautiful example of space where he says space, even though it is all pervading, it is there inside and outside this cup, universe extending beyond, but whatever dirt or contamination you may throw, it does not affect the space. The air will get contaminated, but the space remains ever unaffected, even though all pervading. So similarly, that consciousness, which is even subtler than space, even though all pervading, is not affected. So after having given the example of space, the Lord feels that we need a little more help. So today he gives us another beautiful example, that is of the sun god, the Lord's sun. So it's verse number 34, chapter 13, verse number 34.
Yatha prakashayat yekah. Kritsnan lokamimam ravihi. Kshetram kshetri tatha kritsnam. Prakashayati Bharata.
So yatha, yatha means just as. Prakashayati ekaha. Prakashayati means illumines. Ekaha, one. Kritsnam lokam. This entire world, loka means all the worlds. You know, the entire universe. Kritsnam, all the lokam, imam ravihi. One Ravi, one sun illumines the entire universe. You know, all the planets, the plants, everything. Just as the one sun illumines the entire world, similarly, Kshetram, Kshetri. Kshetram means the field, and Kshetri is the knower of the field, Tatha Kritsnam. So the entire field, not only the field of body, the mind, the intellect, but also the world's objects, emotions, thoughts, even my vastness, they're all illumined by Kshetri, by the knower of the field. Kshetri here means the owner of the field. So the Lord, the owner, the proprietor of this field, the consciousness within, similarly, that consciousness, Prakashayati Bharata. Bharata means is one of Arjuna's names because he belonged to the Bharata family. Also somewhere else I had read Bharata also means, Bha means knowledge, brilliance. So one Rataha, one who is involved in the pursuit of this knowledge, you can also call him, who is totally endowed. So Arjuna was a very sincere student and that's why he calls him Bharata. So he says, O Arjuna, just as the sun, one sun illumines the whole universe, similarly, one consciousness illumines this whole world. So let us spend a little time studying about this, because the sun god here has been equated to Brahman or Atman, the consciousness. Brahman and Atman are used interchangeably. Brahman is the totality, Atman, sometimes they use as the individual consciousness or life principle, but actually there is only one appearing as many. So actually it is one word. There's no difference between the two. It's just difference of terminology. So let us spend a few minutes talking about the sun god, because we see the sun god as somebody being far, far away. You know, he's very far and illumining us, and everything that is happening is because of the grace of the Lord, sun, because all the plants grow, the animals can function, our bodies can function. You know, if the sun was not there, this planet would become frozen, like Pluto or, you know, Neptune or Uranus, which are further away from the sun, are frozen. So it is the sun's glory and grace that nourishes us, illumines us. That's why I think it's important everyone, when you get up in the morning, chant the Gayatri Mantra facing east, and express gratitude to the sun god who is constantly blessing us with his grace. So we think of the sun as far away. And is the Lord far away? We also think of God as being somewhere far, far away, above the clouds, above the, you know, in heaven. He is. That's why in the 13th chapter it says, Durastham chanti ke cha tata. He is further than the furthest, even beyond space, but antike, but he is also within. So within and without, he is the closest thing there is to you, is the Lord, and he's also the furthest. So the idea being that we should not think of God as just far, but far and also near. Also the heart of my heart, in the Kain Upanishad, it says he is the eye of your eye, he is the ear of your ear, he is the mind of your mind, the idea being that my eyes can see, my ears can hear, my mind can think, my intellect can decide, my emotions, all of them are functioning because of this intellect. And it is said that it illumines all, and that is true. You know, all, just as the sun illumines everything, you know, all plants, all birds, all animals, all fish. This reminds me of a beautiful example. Like, say you are watching a movie. You have gone to watch a movie, Gone with the Wind. I don't know how many people remember it. It's an old one. But if you are watching that movie and there is the light that is projected from the back onto the screen. Initially, the screen is white. You know, it is just light. And then slowly the credits start coming, you know, Gone with the Wind and all. And then you start seeing the beautiful scene of the south, you know, the hills and, you know, all the homes and people moving around. And then, you know, slowly you see all the characters, you know, Clark Gable and Vivian Leigh and all the actors and actresses coming. And then you see the wars, you know, the civil war and so much killing and blood and all. So whether you see Clark Gable or Vivian Leigh or the soldiers or the blood or the mountains or the homes, there is one light that illumines the whole film. Constantly the film is moving, but if there was no light, you would not be able to see the film. So that one consciousness, one light illumines all of them. And the light does not say, I'm only going to illumine the good characters in this film, you know, the hero and the heroine. I'm not going to illumine the villains or the murderers. No, the light's job is to illumine, and whatever characters come, depending on their, you know, qualities, you say they are good, they are bad, depending on their vasanas. There may be some hero and heroine, there may be some villain, there may be some murderer. So the light does not distinguish. Similarly, the sun does not say that I'm not going to give my sunlight to the criminals or the crooks. Even the crooks, when they are planning to rob a bank, they use the light of the sunlight. In the daytime, they will go and case everything out and check, you know, that that, you know, where the security guard is, where the cameras are, where the, you know, so everything. And same way a person who is building a hospital or a charitable institution, he's using the sunlight, you know, to do good service, to serve the world. A Mahatma who is preaching and teaching or writing good books also is using the sunlight. So the sun provides its light equally to all. The sun does not distinguish, but it is up to us to how we use the energy provided by the sun to make our lives good or bad. And then correspondingly, the law of karma comes in, and depending on your good or bad deeds, you suffer the good or bad consequences. The sun is not affected, but it illumines all. Similarly, the light of consciousness is the light in which I become aware of everything. I become aware of my ideas. I become aware of my desires. I become aware of my emotions, my bodily, you know, like somebody might say, I'm hungry right now. I don't know what they're going to have for lunch today. I hope it is some good Indian food. So whatever your thoughts are, you're aware of your body functions, your emotions, you're aware of your individual perceiver, feeler, and thinker, and you're aware of the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. So they're all illumined by that one consciousness. And as I said, whether it's good or bad, even the criminal gets his energy to, a murderer gets his energy to kill from whom? From the Lord. As well as a good person gets his energy to do good or bad. So the consciousness itself does not distinguish. The life is given to all. The abilities are given to all. Even they all have the same human body, the emotions, the intelligence, the desires. It's how we use it depends on that. So the consciousness does not distinguish, gives light to all, just as the sun gives light to all. So that sun and that consciousness illumines all. And as I said, it is not affected. Whether there are people are good or bad, the consciousness, the Lord does not suffer the consequences of my actions. Whether I do good actions or I do bad actions, I get the result. The Lord is not, he does not suffer in hell or he does not go to heaven. It is me, that individuality, that is affected by that. But then also they say that it is the non-doer, it is the akarta. And we had talked a little bit about that, but we'll talk a little more about it. Like the sun, if you go ask the sun god, you know, he said, what are you doing, Bhagavan? He said, I'm very busy these days. He said, why? It's the monsoon season, you know, it's June, July in India, and I have to make rain, you know, I have to create rain for the whole of India, you know, 100, 200 inches, 400 inches, some place get rain. I am very busy, but I am relaxed in the winter. No, the sun god doesn't say that. So, well, how did the sun get, the rain get created? They say the sun shone on the, shines on the ocean. And then the ocean becomes vapor. The water becomes into vapor and goes up, up, up because of the sun's heat. And then the vapor meets the cold air. And then the cold air brings the precipitation, brings rain or snow. So is the sun creating the rain? Somebody says, who created the rain? They say the sun god did. Because if there was no sun, there would be no rain. But the sun says, I don't do anything. I don't create. I don't work. He says, then what do you do? Sun says, my nature is heat and light. So I produce heat and light. And that is what I do constantly. It's not that I am, because an action, if you'd say that an action is done by somebody, as Gurudev says in his commentary, the action has a beginning, has an end, and has a desire. Like now, this talk, you know, there is a beginning, and then thankfully there will be an end soon. And there is a desire, because we all wish to learn. So because of that, this action of speaking is going on and you are hearing. So the action of listening is also going on. And there is a beginning, there is an end, and there is a desire. But in the case of the sun god, there is no beginning, there is no end. The sun god has been there for billions of years and will be there. And is constantly emitting heat because that is his nature. He's not doing it so that the monsoon may rise in India. He says, I just produce the heat. Now, as a result of the presence of the sun god, you know, the vapor happens and then the, you know, water falls as rain or snow. So the sun says, I am the non-doer, but it is my nature to produce heat. And in the presence of that heat, where there is water, there will be rain in the desert of, you know, Sahara desert or the Rajasthan desert. There is no water. So the sun god is still giving its heat, but since there is no water, there is not going to be any rainfall. So the sun does not produce the rain, but in the presence of the sun, the rain happens. You know, it's a little subtle difference. So similarly, they say the consciousness itself is the non-doer. The consciousness, just its nature is to illumine, to give life. So that is the nature. And in the presence of consciousness, when there is a subtle body called mind and intellect, then that subtle body gets illumined, gets life, and then the body can start functioning. So that's why this subtle body, the mind and intellect, humans have, plants even have a subtle body, even they have a, you know, rudimentary intelligence, birds, animals, fish, they all have that. Now stones don't. Even though the consciousness is equally illumining the stone, because the stone does not have the mind and intellect, so the life is not there in the stone. Just as when there is no water, the sun may illumine in the Sahara desert, but there will be no rainfall. So that's what the Lord says, that I illumine, but where there is a subtle body, that is the mind and intellect, then in that, my presence, the subtle body gets life. And then the human being or the animal or the plant starts functioning. So those are the qualities of the sun that are can be transposed to the Lord. That is called Brahman or Atman. That's why this example is so beautiful, because right away when you see the sun, that's what should come to your mind. Oh, the sun is the Lord. And it should not only remind you, but it should remind you of the Lord within. That's why the Gayatri Mantra, when we chant, Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat. So I'll just quickly translate. Of course, detailed meaning takes very long, but Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha. Om, of course, all our mantras start with Om, that is the Lord's name. Bhur Bhuva Swaha. So Bhur is the land, earth. Bhuva is the sky, space, and Swaha is the heavens. So, the earth, the sky, and the heavens, three. Tat Savitur Varenyam, that sun god, Varenyam, worshipful sun god, that is beyond all three. That is, they're saying the Lord of the universe is beyond earth, beyond space, and even beyond the heavens. That sun god who is very worshipful, very divine, I worship with this mantra. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. So Devaha here, Deva means the sun, the gods in heaven. Bhargo means that illumines the devas, all the gods in heaven. See, whether it's the sun, whether it's the rain god giving rain, or the wind god causing the wind to move, or the god of the ocean, or the god of thunder, or the god of lightning, all these demigods that are in heaven and that are responsible for the functioning of this earth and universe, all of them get their power from that one supreme consciousness. Dhiyo yo naha prachodayat. May prachodayat means may it illumine our intellect. Aha naha. That sun god, may it illumine my intellect. So the prayer is that consciousness which illumines the whole universe, O Lord, illumine my intellect so I may know you. Illumine my intellect not only so I may become smart and cheat the other person. No, not for that. But the intellect that I may know myself. That is. And then the same prayer, I was talking to Swamiji, should be transposed within. Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha. Bhur means the earth. See, this body is made of earth. Bhuva Bhuva is the mind and intellect, and Swaha is the vasanas. So the body, the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body, the vasanas, three. Tat Savitur Varenyam, and beyond all three, the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body, is this consciousness. Varenyam, which is very dear to me, very divine, very worshipful. Then it says, Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. Just as that Lord illumines all the gods in heaven, also my eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin, my five sense organs are also called Devas. Why? Because they go out and illumine the sense objects, like my eyes. Vedanta doesn't say that the light from that object goes into my retina. They say, no, your mind goes out through the sense objects to see the object. Because say, I am standing with my eyes closed, with my eyes open, I'm standing here, and somebody passes by, my friend, and my mind is somewhere else. I'm deeply engrossed in some, you know, I've had some tragedy or some sorrowful happen, and I'm thinking about that, and my friend passes by and waves. Even though my eyes are seeing, I don't respond. Why? Because the mind is not available to go out. So that's what they say, that the consciousness that illumines the eyes, the devas, the eyes, the ears illumine the sounds, the nose illumines the smell, the skin illumines the touch, and the tongue illumines the tastes. So my five devas, my five sense organs, illumine the entire universe of objects, right from the ant in the ground to the sun in the sky. Everything is perceived by me. The body perceives the objects because of the presence of the Lord within. So it says, Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yo Naha Prachodayat. Please illumine my intellect so that I may know you. It's a most beautiful prayer. Everybody should memorize and say it every day, because this, and it should be transferred within, not only to the sun god. You know, yeah, we express our gratitude to the Lord, but also the Lord within, who is giving me the energy to talk and walk. So that's why this, the sun, you can talk for hours about the sun. It is such a beautiful subject, but I thought I'll end here and wait for any comments, any questions.
How do you explain
Dio means the illumine. Yaha means that sun god, Naha means our, Prachodayat. Dhiyo means the intellect, Prachodayat means illumine. So illumine that sun god, Yaha, please illumine our intellect. Naha means our, Dhiyo means intellect, Prachodayat means may it illumine. You are asking, or it's like that, yes. Yeah, illumine my intellect. Actually, they say chanting makes your intellect sharp. Regular chanting of the Gayatri Mantra makes your intellect very sharp. It's a very, that's why it's the most widely chanted prayer, you know, in the Vedas. And it's a very universal prayer, has a lot of power, you know, listening and chanting to it is a very powerful prayer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I am doing it. The individual is doing it, getting energy from the Lord. See, if you are using the path of knowledge says the Lord is the non-doer, and I, the body, is functioning in the world of objects, the mind in the world of emotions, the intellect in the world of thoughts, propelled by the vasanas, I am doing it. The perceiver, feeler, and thinker. The individual. Of course, at the highest level, there is no I, but we won't talk about that. So at the path of knowledge, you say the consciousness is the non-doer. This prakriti, here also it says, prakriti kriyamanani sarvashaha. The prakriti does everything, the prakriti or the nature. And the purusha, the consciousness, is the non-doer. Prakriti is doing everything, right? If you think that the world is functioning. In the path of devotion, when you say, Lord, I am the non-doer, you are doing everything, and I am just a humble servant, you are functioning through me. Then the Lord is doing everything. Then you don't take ownership of anything. See, then you have to completely surrender good and bad, everything. And then ultimately what happens is, when person is so full of the Lord's, you know, thoughts, his mind automatically becomes pure. Then he won't do negative actions. But whatever he does, he dedicates to the Lord. So whether you're looking through the path of devotion or the path of knowledge, and in Karma Yoga also, the path of Karma Yoga also, you become an instrument of the Lord. So it depends which, but the ultimate idea is that it's the individual perceiver, feeler and thinker who is doing, given the energy provided by the Lord. And then main thing is, if you take credit for it, then you develop this ego that I am special. But if you don't take credit, you say, Lord, it's because of you everything is happening. Then, but it, you know, it's just a way of looking at it, the semantics. But the idea is the same, you know, ideas. That's why the path of knowledge is the direct path. Because there, they make everything black and white. It's very clear. All the other paths help. The path of knowledge, I mean, the path of devotion helps, you know, to develop love for Lord. The path of Karma Yoga helps to do service. But ultimately, the knowledge is the one that burns all the vasanas. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. Shri Krishna says in the Gita that there is no greater purifier than knowledge. Just as fire burns all the wood, similarly the knowledge burns all the forests of ignorance, just as a forest fire can burn the entire forest. So the forests of ignorance, the vasanas in us, can be burnt by the fire of knowledge. So here, at least in Chinmaya Mission, we predominantly use the path of knowledge. Of course, bhakti and karma have to go with it. You have to serve and you have to love Lord. But the knowledge is the one that is emphasized most here. You don't take credit for anything anyway. And once you become that, once you achieve that oneness, then you say, okay, my body, mind and intellect are functioning. I am not involved. Then you become an actor in the play. Just as an actor is not involved, whether he's playing the part of a king or a beggar, he doesn't become happy when he's playing part of a king and sad when he's playing the part of a beggar. He says, the director has given me the role, I'll just play it. And he's equally good in doing both roles. He doesn't say, I'm going to work better for the king and worse for the beggar. So similarly, a wise person, whether he's playing the part of a king or a beggar, whether he's Janak or whether he's, you know, Buddha, he does each role equally well without getting affected by that. That is the hallmark of the wise person. So whatever job the Lord has assigned me, housewife, teacher, doctor, engineer, whatever I'm doing, just do it to the best of my ability as a servant of the Lord and ultimately become a non-doer. It's difficult. It needs practice. It's subtle, right?